How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports. For today's episode, another NFL week recap with my good friend Jacob, breaking down everything we saw during week 16. Lots of stuff happened, getting so close to the playoffs. I'm very excited. There also will be another episode coming out later in the week, probably on Thursday, if I'm being honest, breaking down all the playoff scenarios. So be sure to look out for that. But today's episode, breaking down what happened in week 16. Let's dive straight into it.
Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom.
And once again, welcome back to HQI Sports. I'm your host, Josh Ops. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of HQI Sports. I really do appreciate it. Just before we dive into this episode, I just want to say two things. First, be sure to go follow me on my social media accounts, specifically my Twitter account, HQI_sports, Instagram account, Josh_Hops22, and also be sure to go follow me on, or subscribe to me on YouTube, just HQI Sports. That is where we do all the live streams for this particular episode right here. But the second thing I want to talk about is there were some technical difficulties on the live stream this past Sunday, so I unfortunately was not able to publish the live stream, but I'm still able to take the audio from that recording session with Jacob. So no problems here. So the podcast is absolutely fine. Just no live stream on YouTube this week. So sorry about that, but promise will not happen again. But without further ado, let's dive straight into this episode. All right, I think we're live if everything is going well. Welcome back to HQI Sports. Here is our week 16 recap, breakdown, you name it. We have it right here for you guys. Jacob is back with me once again. How you doing today, Jacob?
I'm good. We've got a lot to talk about. I know you have some things to say about the Chiefs. I've got some things to say about the Browns. The NFC East just got a little more interesting. The NFC West also just got a little more interesting. A lot to talk about regarding the week.
Yeah, absolutely insane. Definitely a weird week, both in terms of, you know, the holidays just happened. We had games on Friday, Saturday, and today, Sunday. So kind of a mixed bag, but definitely lots to talk about. I'll get into the Chiefs later in this breakdown. Don't you worry. First, I want to talk about Jacob. How are your holidays?
They were good. You know, couldn't spend a whole lot of it with extended family, considering that they all live about 3.5 hours away. But you know, made the most of it and enjoyed what I had with my family over here.
That sounds good. I had a pretty good holidays myself. Nothing too much. I got most of what I wanted for Christmas, I'd say, but I definitely didn't get all, but I'm not complaining. Definitely not complaining. But let's actually move on and talk some football. Definitely want to first talk about is Steelers and Colts. Steelers actually pull off the victory 28-24. This was a game which kind of went not back and forth, but definitely, like, you know, Colts definitely took the first half, I would say. And then the Colts actually, like, midway through the third quarter also were playing pretty well. But then there on out, the Steelers just absolutely dominated. They just had an absolute comeback. And Phillip Rivers and the Colts offense had no response to the huge momentum swing. What was your first kind of reaction to this game, Jacob?
You know, I expected this game to be good. And it was. It didn't disappoint. Colts at one point had a 24-7 lead. And then the Steelers' subpar offense, I hesitate to say that, especially this season, but their subpar offense woke up in the second half against a subpar Colts defense that doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers, but have definitely been making plays. Just sort of showed up. Ben Roethlisberger threw the rock 50 times for 3 touchdowns and 342 passing yards. The run game didn't really get as involved for Pittsburgh that often today, which is expected considering how Pittsburgh has run their offense all season. The flip side, the Indianapolis Colts lose a crucial game as they no longer control their playoff destiny. They need to win next week and get a little bit of help to win the division. I'm pretty sure they've already clinched a playoff spot, as have the Titans. But I don't think they control their destiny to win the division. I think that falls with the Titans.
Yeah, I honestly don't know 100% what the playoff scenarios are going to next week. I wish I did, but I don't. But here's kind of my take from this game. I was trying to figure out what I learned from both teams. And the only thing I could really come up with both of them is I learned that I can't trust either of them. Like, I literally can't trust them at all. Starting with the Colts. The Colts had this game in the bag. They literally had this game in the bag. They're up, I think, 24-7 at one point, or it was almost 20 points they were up by. And they have the team, once you have that type of lead, to just kind of run out the clock. They got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, along with Naeem Hines, and a very, very solid offensive line, and a veteran quarterback who I never liked, but obviously has the capability to just kind of, you know, maneuver his way through the game and basically just seal the game, right? And they just blow it. They absolutely blow it. I know the defense was playing terrible at the end of the game, but you have to, if you've already scored 24 points on this team midway through the third quarter, why can't you score again? Like, come on. You guys need to be able to generate some offense so your defense isn't just on its heels all the time. And then for the Steelers, kind of the flip side, for until midway through the third quarter, the offense was horrendous. Again, there was no life. They can't run the ball at all. And Big Ben looked like an old Big Ben who is kind of losing arm strength and doesn't really have a lot of rhythm. And I've been saying this literally since the beginning of the season. I do not trust the Steelers going into the later half of the season, knowing that Big Ben is coming off that elbow surgery and he's just, I think he's 38 years old. You can't just rely on Big Ben to win you games heading into the postseason. That's not what you want as a Steelers fan. And they pulled it out today against a pretty decent defense, but I can't trust either of these teams.
No, yeah, I'm gonna piggyback off of what you're saying and say that this is a team that has relied on Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football 30, 40, 50 times a game. And you know, some nights it's worked. You know, that being said, it's been against lesser teams. But at the same time, like, he's 38 and he's coming off of elbow surgery that took him out for, I don't even know how many games it took him out for last year. Half the season, I believe. But it took him out for a long time. And like, you can't trust a fossil like Ben Roethlisberger to throw the ball 50 times and get you the win every single time. Like, there's a reason, you know, guys like James Conner and Duke Johnson and, you know, Benny Snell exist. I say Duke Johnson, I mean Deontay Johnson. You know, there's reasons that those guys exist, and that's to alleviate the pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger, who has been carrying the load of this offense for the entire season and seemingly for his entire career. I mean, granted, he's got a couple rings. He's got a couple rings. So, you know, he's been doing his job, but at the same time, he's on the back end of his career and he's not relying on his running backs as much as he should be.
Yeah, I can see that. My kind of overall, takeaway from this game is that the AFC playoffs, now with how the Chiefs played against the Falcons this Sunday, I mean, I think the Chiefs will hopefully recover, but I literally can't promise anything. I feel like the AFC playoffs are going to be insane in that just like the NFL has been this year, it's going to be so unpredictable because, I mean, the Colts have been playing well the past few weeks. I mean, I'm not sure they've been playing the greatest competition, but there's no reason that they should have lost this game. That's my point. Like, the Steelers are having easily, you know, like their worst stretch of games this season. I'm pretty sure they lost three games in a row, and they're at home, but it doesn't really matter. And then it's just they just find a way to win against a decent Colts team. And now I just want to shift this conversation, if I can, into the AFC playoff race, which is now looking more and more just absolutely insane. I'm just going to pull it up really quickly. Here we go. As of right now, this is how the playoffs would, if the season were to end right now, this is who's in the playoffs. Chiefs at number 1, Pittsburgh at number 2, Buffalo number 3, Tennessee 4, Miami 5, Baltimore 6, and Cleveland 7. Now here's the big question. The numbers 5, 6, 7, and 8 all have the same record. Now, obviously, there's tiebreakers that go into that, obviously. But as of now, there still could be a lot of movement that happens in this AFC playoff race.
I'm going to reiterate the season ending right now. Obviously, Buffalo has yet to play. They play tomorrow against New England. But if they do win against New England, they will lock up the number 2 seed.
Okay.
I believe they lock it up.
All right. So that's, yeah.
Because they've got the tiebreaker on Pittsburgh. They won't lock it up because they'll have the same record as Pittsburgh, but they'll slide into the number 2 spot.
Okay. So that makes more sense.
But that doesn't change the fact that Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Indianapolis all have a 10-5 record. And there's still plenty of shifting to go around, especially with Tennessee possibly dropping out of the AFC South lead and falling into a wild card spot. You know, we'll see what happens with Green Bay tonight. But if they do win, they will win the division because the Colts lost.
All right.
If they lose, they need to win in order to lock up the division. And if they lose, it's just more shape shifting going on.
Yeah. So I have the playoffs race right here. Kansas City isn't moving because they literally just quenched the number 1 seed.
Yeah, they locked up the 1 seed.
Yeah, but Buffalo, I think they play tomorrow night. If I'm not mistaken,
they play tomorrow. They play Monday.
Yeah, tomorrow night they play the Patriots. If they win that game, I'm pretty darn sure Buffalo moves up to number 2.
They do. Yeah. Because they've got the tiebreaker on Pittsburgh, and they both sit at 12-3 at that point.
Right. Sorry, my light is just being annoying here. That's really annoying. I think my light just died. But we'll keep going. Buffalo would move up to number 2 if they beat New England on Monday, which would move Pittsburgh down to 3, and then. Yeah, and then it's pretty much solidified there because Tennessee, I don't think, will move. Who does Tennessee play next week? They play the Texans, so
they get Houston.
Okay, so that will be a dub. And then Miami, and who?
Indianapolis gets Jacksonville.
Ooh, okay, well, Miami, well, okay. That's actually kind of interesting because it doesn't really matter, but Buffalo, if Buffalo wins on Monday, they go to number 2. And then, but Buffalo the next week plays Miami. That's week 17. So that'll be a crucial matchup for both teams. That'll be very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of interesting matchups. Obviously, you've got Buffalo, Miami. You've got Pittsburgh, Cleveland as well, which is going to be really interesting. And then, like you said, Tennessee against Houston. You know, not a guaranteed win for Tennessee. But very likely.
Yeah.
Baltimore gets the Bengals. And Indianapolis gets Jacksonville.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is that there's usually week 17 is eventful. It's usually not this eventful. Like almost literally every game matters next week, which is not, I know that's not, that can't be that common.
And the best part is that's just the AFC.
Yeah, that's just the AFC. That's the craziest part. Should we get into that now, or should we do the Men of Mania?
I don't know if we're gonna have a chance to get to the NFC. So if you want to talk about the NFC playoffs now, I think now would be better than later on.
I agree because we are gonna talk Chiefs Falcons at the end. But I'm not gonna use the Falcons to dive into the NFC. So we'll just talk about the NFC playoffs right now. As they sit right now, if the season were in today, this is how it would go. Green Bay number 1, New Orleans number 2, Seattle number 3, Washington number 4, Tampa Bay number 5, Rams 6, Bears 7, and then the Cardinals are right behind them. Same record, but they're at 8. What's the tiebreaker on that one?
Chicago holds it, I think. They don't have a head-to-head matchup, but I think Chicago controls their own destiny going into next week.
I have the reason right here. Wins tiebreak over Arizona based on best win percentage in common games. Okay.
Common games. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but that's the rule.
Maybe teams they both play against. That's probably what it is.
It very well could be. It also could be very well something else. But that's not what we're here to discuss. I will be so mad at Arizona if they don't make the playoffs. All they need to do is beat the 49ers, and they're pretty much guaranteed the playoff spot, and they can't do it. They can't beat a Nick Mullins-led 49ers squad. Like, what the heck? It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to raise your Nick Mullins with a CJ Beathard, because he was the one that played.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. How can you not beat CJ Beathard?
Which I guess further proves your point.
It's been
a wild year. So as it stands, if you don't mind me taking over, Chicago controls their own destiny if they beat the Packers. Tall task, but if they beat the Packers, they get the playoff seed over Arizona, and Arizona needs to beat Los Angeles and hope the Bears lose to the Packers. So very possible, but you know, all of that is wiped away if Chicago wins.
Exactly. Like, is it possible? Yes, but is it likely? Probably not. Actually, that light might be terrible, but I'm going to use it. So Arizona, I'm not sure who does Arizona play next week?
Arizona gets the Rams.
Okay. So that's a tough game.
The other team that still hasn't locked up a playoff spot.
Right. So Arizona gets the Rams, and then the Bears play.
And I think I'm tempted to say that because the Rams haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, I'm tempted to say that if Arizona wins and Chicago wins, no, if Arizona wins and Chicago loses, no, wait, that wouldn't make sense. I'm not sure why the Rams haven't clinched yet. I'm trying to do all of this in my head, and it's not working.
Yeah, it's confusing. I'm not gonna lie. Let me just do something real quick too.
All right, while you're doing that, I'm gonna talk about the NFC East, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I literally just need two seconds.
Because the NFC East is very interesting. As it stands, the Dallas Cowboys have a 20-point lead over the Philadelphia Eagles with 30 seconds left. So it's safe to say that Dallas moves to 6-9, and the Eagles move to 4-10-1. So with that being said, the Philadelphia Eagles are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. They cannot win the division.
Right.
Washington and Dallas currently have the same record at 6-9. The New York Giants sit at 5-10. Right now, as it stands, next week, Washington plays Philadelphia and Dallas plays the Giants. So here's what needs to happen for each team. For Washington to win, they simply need to win. All they need to do is beat Philadelphia and they win the division because they hold a tiebreaker over Dallas because they won both matchups against them. In order for Dallas to win the division, they need to beat the Giants next week and they need to hope Philly beats Washington, because that would put them at a higher record over Washington and put them in the division lead. It is possible for the Giants to win if the Giants beat the Cowboys and the Eagles beat the football team.
Okay. So that's all very confusing. I actually ended the stream, but we're still recording. My camera is being stupid, but it doesn't really matter. Fine. Yeah. We're still recording, and to kind of go into what you said, both conferences are going to be absolute madness. I actually was thinking about naturally not even doing a live stream for week 17 because I thought that most teams are probably just going to be benching their players, but that's not going to be the case. I don't think
that's going to happen.
Yeah, no. We're definitely going to be doing an episode for week 17, and then obviously we'll do NFL playoffs. But back to your point, NFC East, I mean, Washington and New York are kind of in similar boats because both starting quarterbacks are just injured right now. Like Daniel Jones, he's playing.
Daniel Jones is probably not 100%.
Yeah, well, he's obviously not 100%. And then the same thing goes for Alex Smith. So it's really interesting, but I think the race definitely comes down to those two teams. Even though I think Dallas just won right now. And
yeah, Dallas just won, and if Dallas and Philly both win, Dallas gets the division.
If the Dallas Cowboys win the NFC East, it'll cap off.
How funny would that be?
We're
all thinking that Washington and the Giants are the two front runners to win the division, and then all of a sudden Dallas swoops up from underneath us and pulls the carpet right from underneath
how
us.
How insane would that be? Like
that would be really funny.
Oh my god.
It would be funny. Has Andy Dalton made the playoffs yet?
Yeah, he made it with Cincinnati a few years, I think.
Did he? Okay.
I think the thing in Cincinnati was that they never won a playoff game, not that they never made the playoffs.
That's true. Okay, no, that's true. You're right.
All
right.
So yeah, NFC East is still completely up for grabs. NFC West is still up for grabs a little bit. NFC Central.
NFC South.
Yeah, NFC South. Pretty much wrapped up there. Man,
yeah, I'm not... both Carolina and Atlanta have been eliminated. Tampa clinched yesterday when they play yesterday.
Yeah.
Tampa clinched yesterday, and New Orleans clinched the division last week.
Yep. So yeah, definitely lots of playoff races. We will give a full breakdown in and out. I actually probably will do an episode this week. Specifically dedicated to breaking down the playoff race. Right now, I'm just trying to go off my head and just stuff that I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah, it's hard to do this off the top of your dome.
Right, so yeah, I will more than likely be posting an episode breaking down all the possible scenarios. I don't like doing it before week 17 because obviously stuff can change. But now with 1 week left, I'll definitely be posting a full...
I think the statement releases on Tuesday, so if you want to do something on Tuesday, that would probably be ideal.
Yeah, I'm more than likely do it on Thursday for anyone listening right now. So be on the lookout for that. But right now, after this short break, I do want to be doing the Minute of Mania. And let me tell you, I am very excited for this Minute of Mania. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back to this episode with me and Jacob breaking down week 16 of the NFL. Now it is time for the Minute of Mania. This is the weekly segment where we break down all the rest of the NFL games that happened just 1 minute because we believe these games are often talked about too much, and especially now since most of these teams are irrelevant since the playoffs are so close. So we're just going to break it down in 1 minute or less, giving our opinions and thoughts. Are you ready, Jacob?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, so let me just get the timer out right here. And 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, first game we're going to break down is the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bears absolutely destroyed the Jaguars. The Bears have been kind of going on a hot streak recently. I think they've won their last 3 or 4 games. And Mitchell Trubisky is making actually a legitimate effort to retain his starting job into next season.
Yeah, two teams with really interesting quarterback situations. Mitchell Trubisky obviously making a case to be the starter going forward and maybe earning a paycheck, staying in Chicago, or he's auditioning for other teams. I don't know what Chicago's doing. As for Jacksonville, the good news that comes out of this is that they have locked up the number one seed, or I say seed, the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Welcome home, Trevor.
And based on Based on the Photoshop jobs, Trevor Lawrence looks really good in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform.
I'm actually very excited to see him play. I feel like he kind of feels like a Jacksonville type of quarterback with like the Southern, kind of Southern mentality and the hair. Love the hair, by the way.
He does have great
flow. He does. On to the next game we're going to break down is the Giants and the Ravens. Fortunately for Jacob, the Giants do take the L in this game to the Ravens, 27-13. The Giants really didn't even stand a chance, though, since they did not have Daniel Jones today. What is your breakdown as a Giants fan?
Well, I can tell you as a Giants fan, we definitely did have Daniel Jones.
You did? My bad.
And I understand why you think that we didn't, because he was invisible.
Well, he was in
250
injured.
Passing yards. He's been injured off and on the last couple weeks, but he played the whole game. 250 passing yards, finally a passing touchdown, the first one since week 9, if you can believe that.
Jeez.
Lamar Jackson and the rest of the Ravens putting on a clinic. Dez Bryant throwing up the X, as he used to. Caught a touchdown pass late in the game to make it 27-6 and shake a little salt in the wound. This is not a dead season for the Giants, however, as we talked about a couple minutes ago. They still have a chance to win the division. I am praying for the love of God that they don't.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that situation off camera, but yeah, Giants take the L and make it kind of harder on themselves to make the playoffs. Next game I want to talk about real quickly is the Bengals and the Texans. High scoring game this one, but the Bengals do take it at the end, 37-31. I forgot who. Oh yeah. Brandon Allen played out of his mind in some parts of this game, but to me this is more just the indication that the Houston Texans are such a mess. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Brandon Allen, dare I say, outperformed Deshaun Watson, even though they looked identical, according to the numbers. Samaje Perine had 2 touchdowns off 97 rushing yards, a good day for him. T. Higgins and Brandon Cooks both had very good games. But in the end, this game is not relevant to anything other than pride.
Yes.
And Houston lost all the pride that they had remaining after losing to the Bengals.
Yeah, not really a relevant game, but definitely just want to mention it very quickly. But on to the next one we're going to talk about is the Eagles and the Cowboys. A little bit relevant here. Both teams fighting for a playoff spot. Cowboys still actually... they manhandled the Eagles in this one. Andy Dalton looked great. Zeke looked great. And Jalen Hurts made some plays, but ultimately just wasn't enough at all. What is your breakdown here?
Jalen Hurts, ladies and gentlemen, is human. 342 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 ugly interceptions that should not have happened. This game just wrapped up, and I was watching a little bit of it before I came in to record. Dallas making it manageable for them to win the division, if you could believe that. Obviously, if I told you that a couple weeks ago, you would have thought I was crazy, and here I am at the end of week 16 telling you that the Dallas Cowboys have a meaningful shot to win the division. Meanwhile, Philadelphia mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Right. Like I just said very quickly, if the Dallas Cowboys do somehow make the playoffs, it will literally cap off the worst year in, not of all time, but definitely one of the worst years of human history. On to the next game. Let's break down. Literally just finished out Rams Seahawks. This is just it sometimes sucks to be so right. When are the Rams going to realize Jared Goff is not the quarterback? When are they going to realize that? They held the Seahawks to 20 points, and then Jared Goff just goes out there and throws for 200 yards and a pick. What even happened?
If you didn't see the only interception that he threw, I highly recommend you go watch it. It made me laugh, and it'll make you laugh too. This was a clinic by Seattle, tearing up a Rams defense that should be elite, but really didn't show up. And, the offense didn't really show up either. They forgot how to play football. Fortunately, Matt Gay remembered how to play football as he went 3-for-3, I believe, on his field goals, and accounted for all of the points that the Rams had this week. This was a game that Los Angeles desperately needed to win, and they just couldn't. And now their playoff chances are on the ropes.
Yeah, definitely not a good showing for the Rams, and definitely helping the Seahawks' chances of clinching the NFC West if they haven't already clinched it. I'm not exactly.
They already have.
Oh, they already have. Okay.
So don't you worry.
Okay. Going on to the Panthers and the football team. Another game where Washington was out Alex Smith and unfortunately had to start Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. And what do you know? Washington does not win with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. Really just a boring game in general, and another game that hurts Washington's chances of making a playoff spot.
Had a chance to lock up the division with a win in this game, and they could not figure it out. Dwayne Haskins looked abysmal and is showing football team fans why he is not going to be the quarterback going forward, and they're going to look to the draft, hopefully, depending on where they land, to try and replace him. Teddy Bridgewater making a case to be a part of this rebuild. Yes, it's a rebuild, Carolina, stop denying it. You know, he looked good, but he's not going to be that franchise guy that's going to turn the franchise around. And when he's done with his contract, the Panthers will move on from him and find someone to lead them back into the playoffs. But for now, looked good and made a case doing so.
Yeah, don't disagree with anything there. The only thing I want to say very quickly, I just want to remind people when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins, and turns out they might have been completely right, which is just incredible looking back on it now.
I mean, they both suck. It's hard to find positives out of those two, but yeah.
Well,
I would probably pick the right guy.
Well,
in hindsight,
I would just say this very quickly. Tell me why Daniel Jones is not better than Dwayne Haskins. Like, he is. That's just a fact. All right.
Yeah. More NFL ready, I would say.
Right.
Even if you could argue that he's not NFL ready, and I would agree with you, he's not.
Yeah. Let's move on to the last game of the Minute Mania, and that is the Jets and the Browns. And oh my God, what a game this is! I know Jacob is very eager to talk about this one. Let me just say this:
I'm going over the minute. I'm warning you.
No, yeah, I'll accept that since because of what just happened, of what happened, and since the last game. But let me just say this first: I couldn't ask for anything more from this game, and here's why: the Jets and the Browns, two historically horrendous franchises. Yes, you hear me right. Even the Browns, even back then, just absolute just crap show here. And do the Jets realize that, like, they need to lose games? Like, do they actually realize that? Like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, they already lost most of their chance to have Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback, and then it's like, no, I'm just gonna keep winning games. That's because we're the Jets. That's what we do. We define all logic and just do whatever we want.
Congratulations to the New York Jets. Justin Fields looks great in black and green. I am not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about the Browns for a little bit. Cleveland had an opportunity with this game to turn week 17 into a matchup that would decide the division. It would be a matchup to determine who comes out of the AFC, want to double check, North. With the division title, and instead they fall to the Jets, proving that anybody can fall to the Jets. Yes, even the Browns. This is a team that is supposed to be reliant on their two-headed backfield in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who, you know, Nick Chubb has been a really consistent power back. He has been reliable his entire career. And this season, you could make the case that he is a top five running back. I say that with hesitation, knowing that Christian McCaffrey was hurt for half the year. Saquon Barkley was out for the entire year. Ezekiel Elliott has not been himself. You know, probably easily a top five running back. And you add Kareem Hunt, who is probably a top 20, top 25 running back. You know, that 1-2 punch should be a threat in the Browns' backfield. And it doesn't look super imposing when Baker Mayfield throws the ball 53 times.
Well, let me just say this though, to just slightly interrupt you. Obviously, well, going into the game, I'm not sure if everyone saw this. The Browns were without almost their entire receiver group because they all were placed on the COVID-19 list. Not that they tested positive, but they were at risk of getting infected. Like they were in proximity of someone who had been confirmed positive. So, but that just makes it even more insane that Baker Mayfield threw for how many times he did. Hold on.
You're without your receiving corps. Let me say this.
The reason why that they were forced to do that is because they kept getting into horrible situations. They kept getting into like 3rd and 18s where no matter, even though you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you can't run the ball on 3rd and 18. You just shouldn't do that. So the reason why the whole, you know, balance of offense was so off is because it kept getting into horrible situations, taking sacks. The Jets D line is like one of their lone bright spots on the team. Like the Jets defense overall is actually not that bad. And I sat here a week or two ago saying that the Cleveland Browns were actually one of the more scary teams for the Chiefs to face. And now I just look like a complete idiot because in back-to-back weeks, the Jets have knocked off two of the best teams in the NFL. Like, what is 2020? I don't even know what to say.
If it makes you feel any better, I said that Tampa Bay would miss the playoffs and that the Raiders would be a sneaky good team in the playoffs this year. And I bit my tongue on both of those.
I mean, Tampa Bay has in some ways been a disappointment, but yeah, that Raiders one's pretty bad. Not
made the
lie.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
That was wrong. That's my point.
Yeah, but they're the sixth seed, whatever.
Yeah. Sort of back to what I'm saying. You cannot rely on Baker Mayfield to make the big play. And you said that they were put into horrible situations. He got sacked 4 times for a loss of 31 yards total. He fumbled the ball 3 times. I don't know if you saw that. He fumbled the ball 3 times, 2 of them off of sacks, 1 of them off of a rush up the middle at the end of the game on a 4th and 1.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the numbers, you can't rely on Baker Mayfield to be the guy in Cleveland.
No, I'm not saying that I'm like a fan of Baker Mayfield. I'm not really a fan of Baker Mayfield. All I'm saying is, obviously, with the situation the Browns were put in, they should have ran the ball entirely more, and I think they wanted to, but they kept being put in bad situations, partly because the Jets' defensive line and some other parts of the Jets' defense aren't that bad and sort of exposed the Cleveland Browns today. So, I'm willing to
argue that guys like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are going to create some holes in that D line. That, I mean, to your point, yes, they've been the lone bright spot on this team alongside. I mean, you could argue Jamison Crowder's having a good season.
That's a pretty strong argument,
but I mean, that's what I'm saying. You could argue it. But yeah, that D line has been good, but this is a top 5 and a top 25 running back that we're talking about on the same team that needs to be utilized more than, let me check my notes, 15 carries collectively.
Yeah, either way, absolutely unacceptable to run that ball that little with the pieces you have. Not trying to defend the Browns. They should have absolutely walloped the Jets today. And, of course, they ended up losing. But let's move on to the last game that I want to break down. I'm not going to say I'm going to go off, but I definitely have some takes. And that is the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. Chiefs do win the game 17-14, but oh my, am I worried. I'll let you go first, Ashby, so I can...
Yeah, I will, as I normally do with these Chiefs breakdowns, I will lay the groundwork and then I will soft toss to you, my friend.
Sounds good.
Just going to read some notes. Matt Ryan, 300 yards flat passing, 2 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, 278 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Herb Smith had 46 yards on the ground and led the team, while Damian Williams had 46 yards on the ground and led the team. Le'Veon Bell had 30 yards rushing, but you got to remember that Kansas City is without their, dare I say, star running back, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, who got hurt last week. Travis Kelce, he broke a record this week, and I don't remember what it was, and I really should. Help me out. Travis Kelce, what did he do? He did something really, really big, and I feel stupid not knowing.
I was trying to allow you to remember it, but I'll tell you. He actually broke two records today.
Go ahead.
He amassed the total receiving yards for a tight end in a single season, previously set by George Kittle, but Travis Kelce did beat it this year. And then he also, it wasn't really, I can't remember exactly, he caught 100 passes for, I can't remember how many times, for like back-to-back seasons, and that was another record. So, but yeah, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, Travis Kelce had an amazing day. Safe to say that our episode a couple months ago saying that Travis Kelce was the better tight end paid off, so hats off to the both of us. In terms of Atlanta's receiving, Calvin Ridley, have a day. 130 yards receiving, didn't have any touchdowns, but still made some noise in the air. Hayden Hurst and, let me check my notes, Laquon Treadwell caught the two touchdowns for Atlanta, while Travis Kelce caught a touchdown for Kansas City, as did DeMarcus Robinson. Tyreek Hill had 65 yards receiving. That's about all I got. All
right.
So without further ado, your main event, Josh Hobbs.
Yes. By the way, I think you said it earlier in your breakdown. Irv Smith. I'm pretty sure it's Ido Smith, not Irv Smith.
Is it Ido? Yeah. I will check.
I'm almost 100% sure.
I'll check. Who does Irv Smith play for then?
Irv,
I know he exists.
Yeah, Irv Smith, I think it's a tight end for Minnesota. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what
you're right. Okay. No, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, here's my take. I know the Chiefs are 14-1. I know they have the number one seed. And I know they have the best quarterback in the league. And I know they have one of the best head coaches in the league. And I know they have the best tight end in the league. And I know they have at least a top three receiver in the league. But I am so scared. I am so scared heading into the playoffs. More so than it was on each of the previous two seasons where Mahomes was the quarterback. And here's why. I have been defending the Chiefs previous games where they have not, you know, blown out the competition, because, you know, they played at the Saints and it was a close game, but it wasn't even that close of a game. They played at Miami and that was semi-close, even though it wasn't even that close. And then, yeah, they had some poor performances, you know, at home to Denver, which wasn't pretty, but they still won. But this was easily, in the span of the last 5 or 6 weeks, easily the worst performance that I've seen from the Chiefs this season. Let me tell you why. It's kind of hard finding where to start, but let me just start here. The Chiefs have so much potential, and they often in games just don't utilize it. Like, we have Tyreek Hill and we have Travis Kelce, and we just don't utilize them as well as I wish sometimes. Like, There were so many plays or so many sequences in this game where it was like a third and long or just not even that complicated of a down, and we're just running plays that don't even make sense. Like, if I had to pin one problem during this game, it would be Andy Reid. And I know that sounds crazy, but I know Andy Reid is offensive genius, and he's one of the greatest play designers the NFL has ever seen. But that does not mean he's a great play caller. And I was talking to Jacob before recording. Like, Andy Reid has already been removed from his play calling duties before as a Chiefs head coach. I think it was back in 2017. And I'm not saying that that should be the case now. I'm just saying there's too often times where the Andy Reid just calls the wrong play at the wrong time, and it just even though we have all this offensive capability, I mean, you can't really overcome poor play calls. Like, it just doesn't really happen. I'll let you go for a few seconds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll be honest, I was checking my phone. I understand where you're coming from, why you'd be scared, especially winning by three against Atlanta, a team that has already been well eliminated from the playoffs.
Three points. We scored 17 points. 17
yeah, you really
points.
Scored like 70.
We literally couldn't move the ball. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, we had good drives and such, but like, we literally couldn't move the ball for the overwhelming majority of the game. Like Mahomes obviously didn't have his best day, but like, there's just so many things that were just hindering this team day. Like, Mahomes throws a red zone pick, and Andy Reid on a 4th-and-1 calls for the Philly special for Sammy Watkins to Patrick Mahomes, and guess what? Sammy Watkins was a pick. It's just like, I know we're good, but like, don't kid yourself. Like, if this was an aberration, I wouldn't be that pissed off about it. But this has just happened so many times over the past week, and you can't have games like this in the playoffs. Like, I don't care how good you are, you can't have good games like this in the playoffs. And even as I say that, I think back to like our divisional game against Houston last year when we fell behind 24-0, and it still didn't matter somehow. And it's just like, oh, I'm so conflicted. Like,
I've got a question to keep you going, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I understand that your running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire was out with an injury.
Yes.
And you've got a bye week, so like, realistically, you've got like 2 or 3 weeks before you can even get him back for a little bit. First of all, do you think he'll be back by then? And second, does his return impact your offensive play to the point where it makes a difference and it makes these kinds of games avoidable?
So the answer to the first question, do I think Clyde will be back? I do think he'll be back, but I definitely don't think he'll be 100% because he was inactive today, and there's no way he'll play next week against the Chargers. And then, like you said, we have a bye, and then the whole week of preparation going into that divisional round. So Clyde is absolutely done for the regular season, but I do think he'll come back in the playoffs. He's that kind of guy. He's a Southern guy. He's from Louisiana. He's just a hard, gritty guy. Like, he's just one of those guys who is not going to let an injury keep him out. That's just not the type of guy he is. What was the second part of that question?
Does his return, even if he splits with guys like Darrell Williams and Le'Veon Bell, does his return sort of impact your offensive play and help games like this against Atlanta become avoidable?
No, it does not, because we did not have Clyde last year, and we were rocking with Damian Williams, who, yeah, he's a beast in the playoffs, but besides the playoffs, the dude's trash. I don't care what anyone says. He's not a good running back. And we were still putting up 35 points a game last year. Like, the offense, I believe, in general, has gotten better this year. I definitely think it has more potential this year with Clyde in the backfield, but like, he's not the reason why we scored 17 points today. That's what I'm trying to get at. Not having Clyde out there,
fair enough.
Like not having Clyde out there isn't the reason why the offense was so trash today. That's not the reason why. The reason why is because Mahomes actually made quite a few bad reads today. And they're just the whole offense was out of sync. Whether it's Andy Reid's play calling, Mahomes being out of sync, there's definitely some drop balls today. And if this, like I said before, if this was just an aberration, I wouldn't be talking like this. But this is literally like the sixth straight game where the Chiefs just can't put, they just don't put it together. Because if the Chiefs play their A game, I know I'm a Chiefs fan. If the Chiefs play their A game, no one beats them. Like, no team in the NFL can beat them. And it's just so conflicting because the Chiefs probably played like their D-plus game today, and they still beat the Falcons, who I know the Falcons are bad, but there's worse teams than the Falcons. And it's just like, they just give me a heart attack every Sunday, and I don't want to keep having these heart attacks.
Yeah, I understand that. And as a Giants fan, I know what pain feels like.
I feel bad in a way because I'm literally complaining about a team that is 14-1 and is the number one overall seed. It's just
I'm like this with all sports fans that choose to have a favorite team. If you're going to have a favorite team, you need to be prepared to be critical of them.
Right.
At all aspects, at all times.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it helped me. I've got a lot of things to be critical as a New York fan.
I 100% agree with that. And let me tell you why. Just kind of wrapping up this segment. The Chiefs put out like a instant like recap of the game produced by the actual Kansas City Chiefs YouTube channel, and I watch it every single week, and it's run by the Chiefs organization, and there's two hosts. It's the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, and alongside him is a former player. I think his name is Sean Barber or something like that. I can't remember exactly what his name is. And every time I watch it, I always get a little bit pissed off because even in games like this, I watched it very briefly today, they don't criticize them, like, ever. And I can tell why, because it's like a kind of like a corporately owned, like they obviously tell these guys, you know, like, don't rag on the team. Like, that's not what we're here to do. And it's so annoying because like they talk about this game and their whole thing is like, oh, they're so perseverant and they just kept battling. And it's just like, no, you got to talk about, even though the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the league, you got to talk about when they just screw up and they're not playing well. You have to talk about that. And that's kind of what I'm doing now because, you know, this is the regular season and it doesn't really matter that much. But in 2 to 3 weeks, this stuff matters. You have to be firing on all cylinders. And it's been too long since the Chiefs have fired on all cylinders. And that is why I am so worried going to the playoffs. Hopefully in week 17, they can kind of, you know, smooth out these rough patches. But until now, my blood pressure, it's through the roof, man. It's through the roof.
At least you have a playoff spot guaranteed.
Yeah, I, like I said, I'm so conflicted with the stake, but I had to get it off my chest. And now that I've done that, let's move on to the final part of the episode. And that is the Sunday Night Football game that's literally going on to my left right now. It looks really cool. Like, the whole Lambeau Field is just completely covered in snow. Let's just do this quickly. Give me a prediction for tonight's game.
How badly is it snowing in Lambeau? You can see it. I can't.
It is legit blizzard.
I want to say Tennessee.
There's literally a shot of the field right now. I can't see the field. Like, I literally can't see the field.
Yeah, I'm sure it looks dope.
It looks really cool.
God, I just because of that, I want to say Tennessee so bad because I feel like Derrick Henry is gonna have a field day. Because I can go first if you want. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's going to want to throw the ball as often as he will.
I can go first if you want.
Go ahead.
I will be... Okay, here's my take. I will be genuinely shocked if the Titans don't win this game. Like, I'll genuinely be shocked. I know I've been really hard on Derrick Henry this year, and some of it's justified, some of it's not really justified. Just kind of think about it right now. But this game is literally perfectly suited for the Titans to win because obviously they rely so heavily at Derrick Henry at running back, and they're mostly a run heavy team. And throughout the past few years, the Packers can't handle strong run teams. They're not a physical team. That's not what they are. They're more of just kind of like, you know, passing. Like, they're not meant to just take on Derrick Henry for the entire game. That's not what they're built to do. And yeah, Aaron Rodgers has played in the side of water before. He's with Mahomes' performance today, he actually might be the MVP now. So you obviously can't count out Aaron Rodgers, but I just feel like the Titans in this game are just they're so scary. I'm going to pick the Titans to win this game.
It's a good thing you went first because I looked a little bit more into this.
All right.
But screw it. King Henry needs sacrifices. He demands the blood of the cheese heads. Titans win, and I don't think it's close.
Okay. I was going to go, I actually didn't give a score prediction, but I almost agree with that. I'm going to say Titans 34. I'm going to say Titans 34. Actually, no, Titans 33. Because there's definitely gonna be some missed kicks tonight. So Titans 33, Packers 19. I'm gonna say this is a relatively dominant win for Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm gonna one up you a little bit. I say the Titans. I think Derrick Henry is gonna hang 40.
All right, I can buy that.
40-24.
Wow. So yeah, offensive. I don't want to go that high because obviously the snow is gonna slow things down. But yeah, we're okay. Well, we both agree the Titans are heavily favored in this matchup at Green Bay. Well, we could be totally wrong. I'm gonna post this episode. I'm gonna try to get this episode out by noon tomorrow. So noon on Monday, Eastern time. So but that's gonna end this episode.
You'll get to see how wrong we both are.
Yes. But yeah, that's going to end the episode of HQI Sports, recapping week 16 in the NFL. Thank you so much, Jacob, for coming on this episode. I very do appreciate it. But yeah, that's going to recap this episode. I'll see you guys next time.